ladies and gentlemen, sit back, put your feet up. It's time for the Other Three Amigos podcast with your favourite four, Damien Sheenan, Declan McCormack, Wayne Mullins, and producer Dan.
The Other Three Amigos podcast is here on this week's pod, a roundup of all the teams, fan artwork, admiration. Guess them abroad, quickly forgotten. Jake O'Brien, cash, 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 cash. UCD, can it get any lower? Is Liam Buckley the man for the job? Queenstown, humiliation. Waterford, is it the biggest game of the season? And not much more. It's a bit short. Welcome along to you. We're here, your favourite unofficial Cork City FC podcast, The Other Three Amigos. Is live. Episode 151. Guys, it was episode 150 last week and we didn't even make any celebrations about it. That's how down in the dumps we were. 150 episodes last week. This is 151, season 3, episode 42 of the award-winning podcast. Best sports podcast in Ireland. On our Patreon, big thank you to our Patreons. You'll be getting some exclusive content as well this week. And again, big thanks to our sponsor on board, NordVPN. Let's find out. After 1 week, what Declan did with his free NordVPN. What did you do, Declan?
Did I get free NordVPN? Did nobody tell me? I never.
One of us did. Who took it?
Don't think anyone did.
Me.
I would have thought that you would have been the prime suspect, Declan McCormack.
Actually, it would have worked because I was looking to watch an American football game on Saturday night that was on ITV.
American football, is it? Oh, yeah that's what it was.
On ITVX balls, in the UK. And I could have done with a VPN.
Well, there you go. No, because we all bought it, remember? Because it's so good. 40% off, by the way, if you go to the nordvpn.com/totap. There will be an advert during this as well, just explaining, because you know what it is. Anyway, good evening to you, Declan McCormack.
Mr. Sheenan, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Dick. I'm here. I'm fantastic. I'm trying to stay. We're all trying to stay positive. It's all good. So good evening to you, Wayne Mullins.
Good evening, Damien.
Wayne, Dickie. How did it feel last week, Dan? After having worse internet than Declan McCormack?
I know, it was very strange, but...
wasn't it?
Do you know what?
It was.
The hard part is coming on to this every week. It's getting hard. This is probably the hardest episode now I've had to come on to and talk. You know? I just think...
Do you need a hug?
Yeah, I need more than a hug. Get out the violin.
I'm going to get this there for you. Just one second, Wayne. It's Wayne Mullins, everybody. When you see Wayne, make sure you do the Wayne watch and take a picture of him. But also, he wants a man hug. He wants a hug, just a hug in general. Isn't that right?
let's not have an assault.
When you see him, take a picture for our Wayne watch. Do we have anything? And then give him a big giant hug.
I'll tell you what, I was very paranoid on Friday night, looking at everyone, seeing as someone taking a picture of me.
It's the paranoia. Yeah. Wayne watch.
I call it heightened awareness. It's not paranoia.
Paranoia. Yeah. They're all looking at you and talking about you, Wayne. Producer Dan, hello to you.
How are you, Damien? Hello.
Dan, yes. You are in a different building, possibly?
The O'Toole's kicked me out of the house. I've had to move up to Lucan in Dublin now.
Lucan, my, I live there myself. So you're now in exile, is it?
I think so. I tried inquiring about the signing up process, so hopefully we'll hear back soon.
Need to change your name to Dano. All right, Dano. We were going to get Dan to give us like a tour of the house, but his internet is mother of God. Like, what? And is he? He's on a potato.
I'm on two bars of 4G.
Two bars of 4G, and it's. Declan McCormack was just sitting back going, this is absolutely brilliant. I mean, you know, it's brilliant. Anyway, it's time to get on with the... It's time to get on with the pod. It's time to get on with the pod. Yeah, there's... They're not going free. €1 million.
Ooh.
Unbelievable. Right, this could be fun. Dan, take it away from Lucan.
Our under-19s did a 3-1 win over CK United. Goals from Killian Mulvihill, Liam Murray and Zach Dunn sealed the win there. Under-17s lost 2-0 to Waterford at home. The under-15s, they beat Sheffield United 2-1 away. Evan Pilo with both goals there. Lost to Derby County then 2-0 earlier away in the week. And the under-14s, they beat Spurs 4-3. Goals from Ryan O'Leary, Killian Murphy, and two from Jamie Nduwuba secured the win away. And they also beat Luton Town 4-0 away. Goals from Jimmy O'Donovan, Jamie, Alex, and David Dunn, Dean O'Hanlon, and Caleb Murray also signed for City during the week.
No, you won't hear this on the recording, but because we have a special kind of studio, online kind of studio. But what we heard there was Jimmy. That's what we heard.
I heard it properly. I heard it properly, Damien.
Did you hear it all properly? Is it just me?
Yeah, I heard it all properly.
Interesting.
Well, the internet, I thought it was my internet gone again, but there's definitely a slowness somewhere.
Okay. It's a pity we don't have like a thing like, guess what Dan's saying, that would be great. We were saying, actually, that is there six ex-City players' sons now playing in our academy or for our teams? Is that what it is? Is that what it is, Declan?
Jeez, I don't know, is it?
I think we had the, did we have this? No, there was, is it six ex-players' children now play for the academy? And the
Colin Healy's Colin Healy's son is there. Georgie's son is there. Dan, Greg, who else?
Pat Morley.
Oh, Pat Morley, yeah. That's five.
And ex-coach Henderson's son. Yeah.
Colin Henderson, yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. I just think it's interesting. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. The women's senior team are back in action this Saturday, the 19th of August, 5:00 in Eamon DC Park. So that's the women's are back. And our amputee team claims the permanent TSB National League title after an epic battle with Bohemians in the final game and the Rathmore GA Astro. Gary Hoey gave Bulls the lead, but Patrick Hickey's equaliser was enough to clinch the trophy for City. Timmy O'Donoghue, who was there to present it to captains Fergal Duffy and Kevin O'Rourke. The lads are back. It was the David Sanders Memorial Cup. Unfortunately, I didn't see that. So well done to the amputee team and rocking. Just my coffee machine again. I like to take part in each podcast. So well done to them. Anything else we can pick up on there?
Just very quickly on Zach Dunn. I see Zach Dunn scored there for the 19s at the weekend. Good to see him back. He was out for a long time with a bad injury. So I don't know, was that his first game back or is he a couple of, you know, maybe two or three games into his recovery? But good to see him back because he did get a couple of goals around the first team squad under Colin Healy early last season. So look, as I said, just good news to hear he's back and playing again.
And I think that under 19 team was a lot of the other players were playing for the glorious Munster Senior Cup. So I think that was it was good to get a mix for some of the players who may have not got a few minutes this week. So congratulations to the 3-1 win. Okay, let's move on with this part.
Tommy Watch with Ivan Drago on the Other Three Amigos podcast.
Okay, right. You may have seen there was a fans' art of the season so far. Wayne, as a kind of artiste, what did you think of this?
Superb! It was unbelievable. The Easter eggs in it were like, what an artist! Like, he should make a book on it. He should make a comic, a magazine.
We should hire him to make
a magazine for us. And we can sell it. That's what we should do. Pat Connolly, brilliant.
Give him nothing.
Yeah.
It made its way onto the forums and it was kind of, we put it up on Twitter and it's just, you know, it's a fun look at the season so far. We made it, guys. We made the picture. We made it. Three of us did anyway.
Well, unless it was the Three Amigos. I think it was us.
He has promised as well that there will be an end of season one. Looking forward to that. But yeah, he should. He should like do like characters of us maybe. Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it? And if you haven't seen it, take a look at either the forums or on the Twitter page. Outstanding. The match last week, our new English fan, Shirts on the Wall, he was treated to a cracker in Turner's Cross. He got easy living tickets from the corner flag. I met him, and I'm not going to lie, I was well in at this stage. I think his name is Killian, possibly, and I think his girlfriend was there as well. I'm going to say Lorna, but I know I'm wrong. I can't remember, but he was wearing the black jersey.
There's Shreenan, our ambassador. There he is. Why? I think his name was Killian. I'm going to say Lorna, but I'm pretty sure I'm wrong. But he's our man. He's our man in the Easy Living Suite.
Yeah.
Every Friday night.
Such a nice fella, and he had a great time. He was telling me stuff.
It's not Killian, anyway.
It's not Killian, is it? Was it Kian? Kian, possibly?
No. Sorry, Kian? I think it was in the. It's in the program. Is it Jamie? It's not Killian, anyway.
Anyway, shirts on the wall. He came over. My own pal, Alan from Scotland, was over as well, and he enjoyed the game as well. But big hi to the guys there. Hope you enjoyed yourself, and you know, you probably won't be back for a long time. Other news. Just Jake O'Brien has gone to Olympic Lyonnais. Today it was announced for a reported €1 million and a report allegedly City have a 15% sell-on clause. There is a sell-on clause. We're just not too sure on it. But
there's no. There's no allegedly. There's no allegedly. It's a 15% sell-on clause.
It's reported.
No, it's not reported. I'm telling you, it's 15%.
Who said that? Was it a reporter?
Come on.
In the paper, possibly?
Come on.
So it was reported?
Yeah, well, it was reported in the paper, but yeah, it's that report was accurate.
Okay. I always liked Jake O'Brien, and like when he was playing with us, you know, like the announcement video, Wayne, we were admiring it. That's a first team player announcement video, wasn't it?
Well, it's not a reserve team player announced anyway. He's training with the first team anyway, according to our Twitter. So it's an unbelievable 4-year contract. It's unbelievable. Second Irish player to play for Lyon.
Laurent Blanc. Laurent Blanc is his new manager.
Nice. We keep an eye out for him. We might have a Boston-esque watch on him, maybe.
Oh, yeah. We could have lots of them at the moment. Matt Healy scored on his debut as well for Svenskan Vink and Jimmy Pink. I can't remember the name of the team. And it's rumoured as well that Kyle Heffernan is now joining Newcastle. He's doing a medical over there. Guys, there's a lot of, like, I mean, we are rocking it, like, ex-Cork City players everywhere. Declan, is it great for us, isn't it?
Absolutely. It is fantastic for us. First thing you're doing is you're saying to young fellas, if you come here and you play for us, these are the opportunities that you can end up getting, you know? There's a little bit of a... I think we've been hard done by in the whole Jake O'Brien thing, to be honest with you, because... Like, wasn't it Troy? I don't know. Troy offered 1.85 million or something from a couple of weeks back.
That's the North Side French. Troy. Troy's a fella that loved you when you were small.
And like that 1.85 million was turned down. And then they sell him to Olympic Lyonnais for 1 million because it's the same owners. You know, I mean, that's cost city. €100,000 or so. Do you know, like?
Well, there you go. Do we have anything else off the field? We actually don't, do we? It's been pretty quiet. Nothing else.
Yeah, it's quiet. We need to leave lots of room for on the field stuff as well, like, so.
Yay.
Is that all that happened off the field?
There's probably stuff in the Penny for Your Thoughts and mailbox as well, but that's what we have there anyway. On our one. Friday night, it was UCD. We started with maybe slightly different. Some people felt it was a false nine, but I think Jay's Kabir was the striker. Rory Keating made the bench. Tunde was on the bench. We went 1-0 up. Keane Bargery getting a goal. And then. Declan, thoughts.
Thoughts in general. I think we were fortunate to get out with a point. I genuinely believe that. I know I'm the stats guy and the rest of it. And if you look at the stats, you know, we had more shots and we had the same number of shots and everything else. And our numbers were quite good. But I've spoken before about passing the eye test. and putting more store in the eye test. And I mean, to me, we failed the eye test abysmally. We spoke about Gavin Colfer last week, and he doing his third Premier Division match of the season, and it being all three being UCD games. If I was UCC, I'd feel absolutely robbed. Late on, when Kian Coleman brings, I can't think, it was a Sam Ferdinand down, and they're away 3-1, and he blows it up. I mean, we absolutely lost our melt when Adriana Real did the same thing against Bowes in Dalymount Park when it was 0-0. And we were just barely crossing the halfway line. They were half the distance to the goal, and they had 3-1, and it looked all over a goal, and he pulled them back. They could have had two penalties. There's a corner where Rory Keaton just shoves a fella in the chest and pushes him to the ground. That's a penalty. There's another corner where both Kustovic and Josh Hoonahan both pull their men down at the corner. Both challenges, in inverted commas, are penalties in my book. And it just looked like Colfer was just going to give nothing against us, which worked to our advantage. But on another night, another referee gives stuff there and we're beaten. And I mean, I know we went in 1-0 at half time, but the goal we scored, like, it rolls through the keeper's legs. It's not, you know. We had 20 shots on goal, 6 on target. And I struggled to genuinely remember one genuine goal scoring opportunity. Probably the one Barry Coffey put straight at the keeper. When, you know, when Kabir plays it to Bargley and Bargley lays it off and Coffey's running onto it inside the area, he should score. That's probably the only genuine goal scoring opportunity we create in the game. And then we're a shit show again at the back. And it's just, it's like, I don't know. I keep asking myself the same questions I asked 3 weeks ago. Like, what are our structures? What are we trying to achieve? How are we trying to do it? If I ask you now, what kind of team are we? You know, we're not a long ball team. We're not a possession team. We're not a play through the lines team. We're not a counter attack team. What actually are we? I have a clue. Like, I genuinely haven't a clue.
We had a chat last week. Like, who is, you know, I mean, okay, we're saying, oh, some of the players, you know, it's not a Premier Division squad and stuff. When, like, UCD, we have the players to beat them. So who does the buck fall with at the end of the day this time?
It'd have to be Liam Buckley, doesn't it? Like, as Decky said, the stats were all in our favour, like the 54% possession. The only issue is we had 6 shots on target from 20. It's a quarter of our shots were on target. That's pretty abysmal. But there's one stat that stands out, right? We had 20 throw-ins, they had 35. It's a throw-in every 2.5 minutes. Like, why did they have 35 throw-ins in a game? Why were we kicking the ball out so much? It's nearly double the amount of throw-ins. And now it's only a throw-in, but there has to be a reason behind why the ball's gone out so much.
I think I can explain it to a degree without having even known you were going to say this. But I sent in screenshots again this week about the goal that they scored, whereby we get ourselves into positions whereby they're pressing us and we just have to clear the ball because we have no options. So we're knocking balls down the line and they're going out of play and those kind of things. And to me, that's the first thing that jumps into my mind. Like, we'll speak about the goal in a minute and I'll give it back to you, Wayne, but that was the first thing that popped into my mind. We get ourselves into positions where we have no options and that the passing lanes are closed down because we're allowing teams to press us because we're so slow moving the ball out from the back. And therefore, we end up just pinging balls down the line and a lot of them go out of play or they're flicked on and they go out of play from the flick-ons. But it's just, it's abysmal stuff. Like, it's absolutely abysmal to watch.
There were calls saying that, you know, he's maybe doesn't, he's old school kind of football and stuff like that. And I on the forums and on Twitter, and I took a look. He was with Sligo. Let's just go back. So when he was with Sporting Fingal, 130 matches, 67 wins, 27 losses. Goals for and against was 1.77 goals for a game and 1.02 against. Points per game, 1.82. Then he was with Pats. He was with them for 293 matches, 144 of them were wins and 90 losses. 1.60 goals per game for, 1.12 against, 1.68 points per game. And then at Sligo, which is the most recent post, he was there for 115 matches. He won 43, he lost 44. His goals for had dropped as well to 1.28 per game and goals against had gone up to 1.17 points per game, 1.37. Is that something that we should have maybe looked at, Declan?
Ah, look, you ought to look at everything. And I mean, I'm not... Well, I am, because for me, the buck stops with management, and I can't see any other way out of it. It's slow, it's fundamentally broken. To me, we have no style of play, and we just, we don't know. I have no idea what we're trying to do with the football, and I don't believe the players have any idea. And we talk about what kind of a team are we? And fundamentally what we are is it ends up out of the full backs and it comes into the centre back and it might get knocked into the centre midfield and back to the centre back, but inevitably it's going to end up out of the full back. And if they get pressed, they have no option. So we're a chip it down the line and hope for the best team. That's what I see us as at the moment. And it's just, it's never going to work. And look, Scotty was on about this last week. There's players in the dressing room who care. And there are players in there who clearly care. And they may not be the best players in the world. And Scotty was big on Kean Coleman last week. But it's clear Kean Coleman cares. It's clear there are other players in there who care. And then it's quite clear that there are players in there who don't give a flying shit. Couldn't care less. So now you're going to be talking about splits in the dressing room. And you're going to be talking about all this stuff. And it's just not working. And I don't know what the answer is. We have one game to save our season, and that's where all the focus has to go on now. And it kind of doesn't matter, because there's absolutely no way we can get ourselves out of this. And Liam Buckley spoke to the press after the UCD game, and he was on again about, we will win a game and we just need to take the confidence when that win comes, take and hope that that kicks us on. We've no divine right to win a football game. I don't see any evidence that we're going to win any game. And I spoke a while back about arrogance within the club that, you know, we'll be fine. There is absolutely no evidence to back that up. We're 6 and 7 points off the lads. We've 9 games left. We took, 6 points from the last 9 games. So how are we going to take 16, 17, 18, whatever we need from the next 9? Like, it just makes no logical sense. And I just can't see it happening. So, I mean... I don't know, but in my opinion, we're being managed very, very poorly.
What's your thoughts on the whole situation? Is it the players? Is it the manager? Is it everyone? I mean, what's going on?
It's the whole club from top to bottom, I think. Yeah, it's the whole club from top to bottom. And I think that, as Decky says, there is an arrogance. There's a huge arrogance. There's also a naivety. This isn't a business. The club has been running like a business, not a football club. And there's serious issues going on within the club. And I think it's toxic. The whole club is toxic. And I think that there's players people can't talk to us. People can't... Do you know, when we're telling people not to talk to people, people are on walking eggshells. There's an edginess. It's just a mess. I thought we started the game very well against UCD, to be honest. I thought the first 20 minutes we played okay. And it just went to shit. And I think... I've said it for weeks. I said, it's too late, the window, we're still getting players on trial. Why? What's the point? It's stupid. It's ridiculous. We go what we have, but we need to aim for this game against Waterford. Watch them every week. Watch their games. See how to play against them and practice until then and try and beat them. Because there's no way in hell we're getting out of this unless two of these teams, one of them anyway, has a disaster. I can't see it happening. They're going to pick a point.
Do you believe we have the players to be able to do better? Is it tactically we're just going wrong?
I think the players, if you had someone who knew their strengths, knew their weaknesses, and was able to kind of motivate them.
Does Richie Holland not know all that? I presume he does.
Richie Holland, I don't think he's got a say in anything, to be honest with you. I like Richie. I think I would have given him a chance instead, to be honest. I still would. But I don't think he's... I think he's just there to kind of coach maybe a bit. But no one really knows who's in charge or who's calling the shots. We won 3, drew 1 game, and everything's amazing. I can see why they hired the 2 lads and kept them on. But I'd be getting rid of Buckley with immediate effect, and I'd be putting Richie in place. No, we're not getting rid of him, but keeping him as sporting director.
As a sporting director, yeah.
Yeah, not get rid of him, because I think for the rest of the season, he does have something. But I think on the pitch, I think it's... the sell-by date is passed.
I think everyone was delighted when he came in as a sporting director, because we were saying, oh, he's going to work well, you know, he's plenty of knowledge. And it's been, you know, it's been unexpected for him, I presume, as well, you know. And then, you know, I don't think he wants to be as involved as he is at the moment. So,
look, at the end of the day, right, this club, it right now, it's the worst. I've been supporting this club 31 years, right? Next year is our 40th anniversary. This is the worst state I've seen this football club. And I've been through the Terry Dunn era, the Brian Lennox, Tom Coughlin, it was bad, but we're in the same situation. The difference is we have money. Back then, we didn't have money. So we have a chance to turn it around. But I think until we start treating this like a football club with a bit of heart, a bit of passion, a bit of corkness, no matter who we employ, Pep Guardiola, doesn't matter. We're going nowhere. Like, and the penny will drop when we get relegated. I think we're getting relegated.
Do you want anything else in the match before we move on to the MVP and stuff like that, Declan?
Yeah, absolutely. The goal we gave away again, it's just another diabolical example of how you defend. And it starts with Ollie Byrne collecting the ball, and he wants to go long. He wants to go quick. He wants to go long. And there's nobody giving him an opportunity to do so. There's nobody showing for him. And if you're going to play Jace Cabella as a nine and as a striker, then he has to show for those balls. And for me, he's not a striker. Play him wide. He's not a back-to-goal striker. Same way, as I said, I didn't want to see Kevin Kustovic played at right back, because you're taking away his influence out of the centre of the park, be it from centre midfield or centre back. But yet, that's how we lined up, and that's where. So Byrne has no option. So he ends up rolling it out to Kevin Kustovic, who rolls it into Barry Coffey in midfield, who rolls it back to Kustovic, and bang, West Brom from? Bang, UCD, I don't know where that was coming from. UCD press us, and all of a sudden, I'll put up the screenshots on Patreon and the rest of it, all of a sudden, Kustovic has absolutely nowhere to go with the football, except down the line, and he puts it down the line, and Sam Verdon is standing there on his own. He picks it up. And one pass later, Verdon has taken 7 Cork City players out of the game. Because while Kustovic is stuck right back with the ball at his feet, everybody on our side has just gone that side. They've all just gone, jump. Individuals again. There's no units. There's nobody thinking as a unit. And when Verdon knocks it back into midfield, into the centre of the park, where the goal scorer is the one who picks it up, he takes 7 Cork City players out of the game. 7. It's incredible, because they're all the wrong side of the football. And Josh Honohan is marking the goal scorer. He's up against him. That's fine. And it's actually laid back. And when it's laid back, we get ourselves into a kind of an acceptable position again. And it goes wide. And as the ball is played in, as your man's going to whip in the cross, Josh Honohan is skin tight to the goal scorer. And Keane Coleman is in front of him. And people were saying after the goal, it's all on Coleman. He has to know where your man is. It's not. To me, it's not. It's on Josh Honohan. Your man splits the two centre halves, but Josh is the one behind him who can see it all happening in front of him. It's happening behind Keane Coleman. Now, Keane makes a massive mistake in stepping out. For some reason, he takes a step out that just creates all this space. But even still, he's trusting that Josh Honohan is seeing behind him what's going on and is picking up the man as he was 3 seconds earlier. But he's not. He's decided to leave him run off him. And your man scores, Kinsella Bishop. And Josh Honohan turns around, throws his hands in the air and says, what's going on here? Well, what's going on is that your man scored. And like, I really like Josh. I said all last year, I thought Josh was outstanding. But let's be fair, he's had a terrible month. Absolutely but is terrible. That
like, can you actually blame like defenders? Should it have got to like our midfield should be doing better, our strikers should be, like it's the whole team. Like, I mean, we shouldn't be giving chances like that to UCD.
No, absolutely. But like, it's again about units, and Liam Buckley spoke about this in the press conference, and I thought I was listening to myself last week. Like, he's in the press conference after the UCD game, he talks about, oh, we have to work as a unit and we have to move as a unit. Well, Liam, you're here how long? 3 months? 4 months? What have you been doing in training if you're not working and moving as units? What have you been doing for the last 4 months? Or is it the fact that you can't get the message across to them and that you're doing it in training, they're still going out on the pitch and doing their own thing? Because no matter which scenario it is, you're responsible for it and you have to correct it. You know? And it's just, it's horrific when you watch it and you break it down and you see it like that. And it's like, and it happened again on Monday night. And the thing about Monday night in the Munster Senior Cup final is you're talking about a different set of players who are doing the same things. And that, to me, then proves it's systematic. We created, and I know we're talking about the Cove game, and I don't want to get caught up, but we created nothing against Cove either. We did nothing offensively. So to me, then that shows it's systems and it's patterns of play, and they don't exist. And why don't they exist? Because it's a completely different set of players, and yet they have the exact same issues that the other set of players have. That, to me, then shows it's systematic, and it's coaching, and it's tactics, and it's formations, and it's all those things. Yes, of course, there's a certain amount resting the players. Of course, absolutely, everybody knows that. But, like, they're not getting any help. They're not getting any help from the line, as far as I can see.
But at the end of the day, players, when they go on the pitch, you know, they shouldn't have too much. Look, okay, we could go on all night. Yeah, there was plenty of anger. There was... Wayne, did you clap off the players, or did you boo them?
I stood there, arms folded, but I did clap Keane Coleman off.
Okay.
Because he was the last man off, and I was like, you know what? I thought he tried. I think there's about three players there I would say that really, really care. It's my opinion, and people are afraid to say what they want this year, but we said for the last 2 years, I think three of those players care and the rest don't.
Declan, did you clap or boo?
I wasn't there. I couldn't make it. But I booed. I booed in my office watching it. I booed hard as they walked off. No, I don't boo players. I don't believe in it. But
don't believe in it. The thing I was saying, a lot of people were saying that a lot of people were clapping players off. They weren't. Rory Keating went off the pitch first, and he was getting applause.
I saw two people clapping.
Come on, two people.
That was just next to me. Anyway.
Two people. But a majority as soon as Keating went off, all the boos, and it was very low. And people were booing during the game as well. But during the game, people were booing. And here, this is football. Like, this is the problem with this football club at the minute, right? We're treating this like a business or a rugby team or something. This is football, right? If you don't like it, piss off.
Let's see about this one.
The most prestigious award in world football. It's the Other Three Amigos MVP.
Right, we've put up our four choices again. People kind of ask them why and stuff. We do this. We put up Keane Coleman, Kevin Gustavich, Conor Drinan, and Ben Worman. The runaway winner in this one was Ben Worman. I think he had a great game. He had a good game, and it was nice to see Conor Drinan, I thought, as well, was up there. Some people said Bargry should have been there as well. But again, we only put up four. Are we in agreement? Ben Worman, good game.
He's got potential, I think. Yeah. He's a busy player. He's got a shot in him too, and he tried three or four of them. Now, I suppose one or two kind of went a bit over the bar, but here... The only way we're scoring up some set pieces in long range, I can't see us scoring anywhere else. So, by all means, keep shooting.
Yeah, I think so. If anything at all, once a goal goes in, let's move on. See what the fans thought. So here's a penny for your thoughts. I'm looking for a kiss. I can tell you that, it's not good. I'll just briefly go through and see. What was said. So after the game, we asked you what you thought. Shirts on the Wall said, there are no words for the performance, but what a football club. The fans, absolutely incredible. Shed were very loud and everyone was so nice and gave us an experience we won't forget. But we forgot your name, Kian, Killian, Jamie, something, whatever your name is. Shirts on the Wall, thank you for that. Sports amazing, despite the results. Cowards, players hiding, trying not to get the ball. Players out of sync with each other. Then we concede and we sit there sulking for the rest of the game, says Duncan Noonan. Pat Connolly said, when's the next golf classic? John O'Sullivan, a valuable point gained on Sligo. Darren O'Keefe, is synchronised diving a sport? There was a lot of that, actually. Chris Martin said, the Liam Buckley loving for his honest post-match rants would want to stop. He's a director of football who was here for many weeks before the window opened. He still produced nothing in it. To mind the players, they were never good enough as a group. And more abuse. Kyle Williams, Case Willie, I was very impressed by how we played in the first 20, the first period of the first half. I know it was the franchise, UCD, but we created a lot more quality chances, just didn't bury them like Donald Trump is burying his opposition. Dan Casey said, Wayne was right. David Crowley's spineless, useless, majority not fit to wear a jersey. Chris Miller's too slow making subs. I can see we needed fresh legs or something, at least 5 minutes before the goal. The Wayne, absolutely toxic environment, emanating from the top. They don't, simply don't deserve what it means. They understand what it means to represent this fine football club. In 31 years, I've never seen such a horrific... You just said all this. You're really... My God, it's buried in your head.
I'm very angry, like...
I know.
I can sense my blood boiling here.
I can see you're getting redder.
I was funny to start. I'm trying not to swear. I promise you, I'm trying not to swear.
Dara said, I'm done. What's the point going to matches to watch that? I can't find many positives. Bar maybe Warman didn't look that bad. We don't have a system or style of play, which we've kind of said already. Felt like we were sleeping the second half, which you've kind of said. We won't need to worry about Waterford. UCD might still catch us. Brendan Daly said, what this team needs is a leader. Greg Bulger, Conor McCormick type, which have a squad of lads who are less than the sum of their parts. Management must take responsibility too. Joe Langford, and I'll leave it at this one because just when you were convinced it couldn't get any worse than it did. Lack of passion, pure apathy from all but three of those players on the pitch. Lots more, obviously. It's the same shit every week.
A good one. People are saying,
I've had more wanks than showed that showed more passion than this team. Someone said, Joe. Yeah, that's that one. We won't talk about the Cove match, but we're going to go half time now. Plenty more in the second half. See you in part two, Toe Tapper.
This podcast is sponsored by NordVPN. So listen up to the ad and hear what it's all about and get our offer for you. So, what is a VPN? Here's the nerd porn. A VPN connection establishes a secure connection between you and the internet. Via the VPN, all your data traffic is routed through an encrypted virtual tunnel. This disguises your IP address when you use the internet, making its location invisible to everyone. Now, the geeks have just blown their load. Here's for the normal person. So basically, you can browse the net safely. Is that all I hear you ask? Absolutely not. If you think the government is watching you, then fear no more, tinfoil hat man. They can't. With NordVPN, what else? Every wanted to watch BBC Player, or something that's not available in your location. With NordVPN, you can watch all the stuff that you want in any location. Netflix across the world is available, so you can access the latest episode of that Mexican soap opera that you've always wanted to save money. Other countries can get stuff way cheaper. So jussy pop yourself in a different location and watch the bank balance, thank you. And of course, enjoy you time, you dirty man. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/toetap to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus 4 additional months for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee.
Welcome back to Part 2, Toe Tapper. On Monday night, it was the Munster Senior Cup final, the second most prestigious award in world football. Cork City versus Queenstown. Cork City looking for revenge on last year. And it didn't happen. Queenstown won 3-1 2 years in a row. Declan, no one could see this match because it wasn't streamed or anything like that. So you are just going to have like 3 minutes to talk about this when no one else can. So take it away, Declan McCormack.
That's not a huge amount to say, to be honest with you. I mean... Cove,
so why did you bring it up?
Deserved...
I have to talk about it.
I mean, like, Cove fully deserved to win the game. They were much better than us. I went up to the game. I thought there was a good crowd there, but people were saying it was way down the final last year, etc. So I wasn't there last year, so I can't comment on that. But like, what stood out for me was very simply, and I think I referenced it already. We started with Tunde and Rory Keating up top for, obviously, they needed minutes. We, behind them then, it was young fellas. And I mean, you had Sam Bailey and young Colin Henderson as the two centre backs. And, John O'Donovan on the left, Gordon Walker on the right. But we just, the same problems we have. And that's why we said that it's that to me says it's systems and coaching and everything else, because different players, same issues. Nobody looking for a ball. Nobody wanted a ball. No idea. Like Aaron Healy, Colin's son, was playing in midfield. At least four or five times in the first half, he got his foot in the ball and he looked up to play a ball looking for options. And there was just no options there for him. Nobody giving him options. And it's for people who don't know, no, Wayne is currently balancing things in his head because he wasn't at the Cove match. Yeah, he wasn't at the Cove match. So
he's currently up there. He's just about to put his child up there. So he's got a chair and a couple of boxes and a phone. And now he's just about to balance a child on top of his head. Sorry, Declan, you were saying?
No, I'm actually fascinated by this because there's obviously a massive advantage of being bald in terms of allowing yourself to balance things in your head. Like, you know, it's like, it's maybe the way to, whoa, that's, holy Moses.
So, yeah. It was the same thing anyway.
Same problems. The only thing, like, a word, 16-year-old Cathal O'Sullivan, who signed his pro deal a few weeks ago, started, played for an hour. Best player on the pitch for an hour. Best Cork City player on the pitch for the hour he was on there anyway. And he's 16. No, lads, first time seeing him, like, this guy, he's a player. Like, don't want to big up 16.
Do you believe
he's,
we should have went with a stronger
go, like,
lineup to win that, Declan, for confidence?
I can see both sides of that argument. I mean, I was okay with the squad that was, or with the team that was announced, but lots of people were saying, no, we have no confidence. It's a game we could win. Start the strongest team you can going into the Waterford game on Friday night. I'm 50-50 on it, to be genuine. I could see it and I can take it either way. We went with a younger team.
I think Wayne is up to more. Were you just, did you get to see Jack?
No, he wasn't there.
Oh, Jesus, Rich.
Wayne, he wasn't in the Cove squad.
Yeah, we 110% should have played our strongest team. Bar anyone who has a niggle, we needed to win that game. Because now we'd nothing to gain, we'd everything to lose. We wouldn't have been praised for winning that, but if we lost, which we did, and they got hammered, whoever made that decision,
actually, yeah,
it was not a good decision to do that. And nobody would convince me otherwise.
True. Yeah, I know, that's a good point. Yeah, he's right. We had actually nothing. We couldn't win, but we could lose massively, like, you know, and that's what's happened. So he said nobody was ever going to praise us. Win the game with the young fellas, nobody was going to praise us, but lose the game with any team and we were going to get hammered. And as you said, that's what happened. And it just wasn't good again. And the most worrying thing for me was the last half an hour of that game, we had pretty close to our strongest 11 out there. Obviously, Rory Keaton came off after an hour. But, like, we finished with pretty close with strong to, obviously Aaron Bulger wasn't involved. There was a couple of other players, Bar Green, a few boys weren't involved. But, like, we were pretty close to it. And it was not good. Like, it just, you guys know, I was cock a hoop that we'd beat Waterford in a playoff, that we'd beat them in the cup because they were coming up from the first division and the standard as well. Or I watched us that last half an hour with a pretty, you know, very, very strong team against Cove, and I came out of that ground going, I was wrong. I was completely wrong, because if Waterford have anything about them, they'll put it right up to them, like, right up to them. And
speaking of
the
that, this Friday, 18th of August, it is Cork City versus Waterford in the FAI Cup at Turner's Cross. Ooh. Wayne,
I'm petrified.
Is this a playoff curtain raiser? I mean, this is big.
This game, confidence-wise, could put us down. Confidence-wise. Like, say it's Waterford come up and batter us 3-0. Say they do. Like, where do we go from there? Now, it probably won't happen. You'd hope that we pick a strong team. You'd hope that we spent a whole week looking at them, because this is the biggest game of the season so far for us. Because it's a chance to see what we're up against. I don't know. I'm very, very worried about it. I'm worried that we go to there and we lose 2-0 and we're just, everyone's, like, these next 3 weeks, it can turn very, very nasty. And I really think if we don't beat Waterford and beat one of the two, Sligo or Drogheda, I think it's going to go mad. Like, I think people, you don't need us to be complaining on the podcast all week. You don't need to blame us all the time. There'll be plenty of people doing what we're apparently doing for the last 3 years. I'm worried. I'm really worried.
You're worried, Declan. Well, sorry, Wayne. I thought you were.
No, I would play this game as if it's the playoff. And just if we could beat them, it's a big statement we're making. And it gives us the confidence. Even if we lose every game for the rest of the season, we can say we beat Waterford already. We can do it again. It's I'm not trying to swear, it's massive.
Declan.
Damien.
Biggest game of the season?
I think
so.
Can
we beat them?
We can. Absolutely. We can. Will we? That's another question altogether. Like as I said, my confidence took such a dent in that last half an hour against Cove Monday night. I can't put it any other way. And like, here's the thing. We're going into this game at such a low ebb. And I mean, a low ebb as a fan base, low ebb obviously as a club, even a low ebb as a podcast. We're playing Waterford in Cork on Friday night. They're obsessed with us. Waterford people live their life obsessing about what's happening in Cork, what's going on in Cork, right? Their owner is in jail, right? And we're not even in a position to make a joke, like, or, you know, to, you know, we should have some funny skit with, you know, fellas trying to get out of jail or whatever it might be. Like, we can't even bring ourselves to do it because we're just in no position to throw any kind of shit at anybody. And, you know, that's heartbreaking. Like, that's heartbreaking, to be honest with you, you know. And like, I still believe we can. I still believe we beat them, but it's much, much more of a 50-50 game than I thought it was going to be. And can I just say as well, there's a big presumption around the place that we will play Waterford in the playoff final. There's no guarantee of that either. I'm looking at that loan, and that loan are flying, and they score goals. And when a team scores as many goals as that loan score, they can catch anybody on the hop at any stage.
If we end up playing at loan, right? You'd get over losing to Waterford, right? You'd get over it. Cove, you could say, look, it's a Munster derby, play it in Cove or Cork, wherever it is. You get over it, you know what I mean? You say, oh, look, derby, whatever. If we lost to Athlone, I'm telling you now, right? People would be run out of town. Those players, not me, I'm just saying what will probably happen. I've seen this kind of shit before. It will not fly in Cork. If we lose that loan, I'm telling you that's it. Like, you might as well shut up shop, close the doors, and create a new team. There is zero point in going on anymore.
I presume we know Ronan Collin has 24 appearances in the league with 31 goals now. I think it's a 31 he has. Yeah, he's probably the man to watch. And
probably the man to watch.
Obviously, yeah. You know. Yeah, I mean, statistically, 31 goals in the first division is huge. Waterford, but just in case you're wondering, have scored 69 goals in 26 matches, and they've conceded 22. But it's the first division. It's the first division. It's the first division. Full team. Like, Deck?
I was just going to say, 22 goals conceded in 26 first division games is a sign of a leaky defence to me, because, you know, you shouldn't be nearly at a goal a game if you're a top team in the first division. But I'm just saying that.
We conceded 22 goals in 32 matches last year.
Yeah, you know, so. I think they have a weakness there. They conceded in the last minute of injury time against Galway on Friday night to draw that game when, you know, their keeper makes a bad mistake. Like, there's ways to get at
them. We can't even beat UCD at home.
I know.
Or away.
You think we're going to even... I would say the best tactical information will come from this podcast. I'm telling you, players, listen to us. We'll tell you how to beat Waterford. Don't mind those fellas.
So... It's
Scotty's managing the team on Friday night. It's definitely going to be 4-4-2.
You don't realize how angry I am at the minute. Like, I'm liable to say anything at the minute.
Wayne, give us your prediction. Come on.
I think we're going to lose the game. And that's my head saying it. My heart thinks we're going to win 3-0 and we go on a run. We just miss off out of the playoffs. We end up being in the playoffs, beat Waterford, and everyone's happy. We go on next year and mid-table. That's what my heart says. My head says we're going to lose. And I just can't see
Declan.
I'm going to say that there's going to be something weird happen. You know, there's going to be a big moment in the game, either a sending off or a weird OG or something like that. And I'm going to say, I'm just trying to check here and I'll see who's refereeing it out of pure interest. I'm going to say we'll win it on penalties.
Oh, it must be finished on the night. Okay.
Yeah. 10-9. I'm going to try this one. We'll win a penalty shootout 10-9.
Does that go to extra time, Decky?
Yeah. Owen O'Shea is reffing it. So, okay. I mean, that was almost predictable. Send the lad from Tipperary. But like, it's geographical. Like, send the lad from Tipperary down to Cork to referee Cork against Waterford. Like, keep the expenses down.
That's what they should be doing.
Do you be like stalking referees and stuff? Are you like a ref stalker or something? Ah, yeah, Tipperary, no, lad. Sure, yeah, yeah. I'm going to try this one. So I keep saying we're going to win and then we lose. So I'm going to try this one. We're going to lose. So hopefully that'll change the result. Okay, I'm trying to get superstitious.
Or you might just be right for the first time this season.
It's that's this Friday night. Can't wait. Tickets are on sale at the moment.
Do you know what? This is a game where there's no pressure. They always say there's no pressure in a cup game. Do you know what? They could surprise us. They could go up there and they could batter them 3 or 4 nil and everyone just relaxes in for the rest of the season, do you know? And we know we can beat them. You never know. You never know. Look.
Is it a free hit? No. Jesus. No.
Controversial. Controversial.
Let's see what's in our mailbox this week and see. I'm just going to need to get up my little thing there. Where's it? I'm not sure about that. I didn't ask anything, Alexa. What's going on? Where's it gone? There we go.
Postman Pat in black and white cat.
A couple of things came in. Do you think that if we somehow stay up this year, we'll get embarrassed next season? Or do you think the board will actually spend a few quid? I think lessons have been learned. Do you agree, lads? Deck?
Yeah, like, I mean, I would, but the question is, and it kind of goes back to last year, if everybody's doing their shopping now and doing their shopping in September and October, we're going to be last to be able to shop if we stay up because we're going to win the relegation playoff game, which is going to be 3 weeks later than the rest of the Premier Division finishes or whatever it is, 2 weeks later. And I think we're behind the eight ball a little bit, but I do think that the same mistakes won't be made again. They can't, like, if the same mistakes are made again, the same stuff happens, then just time to shut it down and walk away. Like, you have to learn from your mistakes. You have to.
Another one. Where is Graham Norton from? Which is
Bandon.
Another one came in anonymous. What's the smallest set of handcuffs you think would fit you? I would think the punch up.
Extra large. What's a small?
I don't know. I reckon small. What else have we got? The four of you heading for points, which City player are you each bringing? I was saddened by the lack of grumble in the Moaney Ford stand on Friday night. What is the one thing in life that makes you rationally moany? Feel free to mention wives, family here. It's the team. It's the league for me at the moment, Moaney. Which player would I bring? I don't know.
What's the question?
I would bring... So, four of you heading for points, which City player would you bring each? Like, which... Who would you bring for pints?
Jimmy Corcoran.
Okay, Wayne?
Seems like good crack.
Current player?
Yeah, it just says City player.
Who would I bring? I'd bring... it has to be Finney. I'd love to go for a pint with Finney.
It was supposed to be current, but... No.
Current player, Jesus.
I'd go with Ali Gilchrist. I reckon he'd have a good session. You know, the big Scotsman, like, and just speak about Braveheart for the whole night.
I was watching Highlander on Friday night or Saturday night, and your man Connor McLeod, image of Ali Gilchrist.
Yeah.
I was just watching the whole movie going, that's Ali Gilchrist.
Edmund Hannon says, have we got the players to be in a better position in the league? I think we do. Do you think Colin Healy would have turned things around with a backing and improved us over time? Surely things can't get worse.
Do you think so?
I would agree. And there was one more with Sligo getting noticeably weaker and probably now having a weaker squad than us. Do you think there's a chance we'll catch them?
No.
I don't think so.
So much to do.
I think that's it, is it?
That's it.
That's everything. Thank God you didn't put up.
Adios, amigos.
That's it, guys. Back next week. Adios, amigos.
Adios. Imagine if we lose.
Ciao.
The Other Three Amigos podcast with Damien Sreenan, Wayne Mullins, and Declan McCormack. Three lads, one podcast.